A story of waste and disillusionment. And just to top it off, you've got to hear this story about something similar that happened during the Obama years. In early 2008, around the same time that Jennifer Silva was talking to struggling young Americans, then presidential candidate Barack Obama was jump-starting the engine of young people and tapping a grassroots political movement for change dedicated to restoring hope and prosperity, unlike anything seen in modern political history. A team of big thinkers, young techie geeks, and Silicon billionaires around the rising senator from Illinois were imagining this engine powering an off-road vision of activism for would-be candidates and workers for the first black president in U.S. history.
The key question is what happened after Obama won the election? And this is where everything, I think, you know, goes awry.
That's Mika Seyfried, a contributor to The New Republic and author of The Big Disconnect, Why the Internet Hasn't Transformed Politics Yet. Mika's investigation tells the story of how the Obama 500-horsepower Hummer of young activists was put up on blocks and left to rust, squandered in what he says is one of the most astounding missed opportunities in history.
It was important to have something ready the day after the election when people are on a high, at the moment of maximum enthusiasm, maximum sense that, you know, we can,
as they said, right?
And instead, nothing was ready. At this point, David Plouffe, who was the campaign manager, takes the reins of this question of what should we do with the movement. And he sends out an email to the 13 million people on Obama's list. I mean, this thing is really a juggernaut that no one has seen before. He sends this email out and he says, it's up to you to help us decide what you want this to be. And he gets back some amazing responses. I mean, the vast majority of people who write back absolutely want to keep supporting Obama. But most interesting to me, 50,000 of the people who reply say they're interested in running for local or state office. This mass number of people who have been so activated by the success and the experience and the training that they have in community organizing, they want to keep going. Instead, what happens is Plouffe and a lot of the senior campaign people get together in Chicago and they basically decide, of course, this is going to be controlled by the DNC. We're going to call it Organizing for America instead of Obama for America, but they keep the same platform, the same, you know, it's still the same list, and it's all going to just sit inside the DNC. And now that, John, is where you start getting emails asking to buy coffee mugs and sign thank you notes supporting congressmen who have, you know, endorsed the president's agenda, but they never used it as a tool to pressure Democrats who were being obstructionist or Republicans who were being obstructionist. They never used it as a tool to support local candidates who wanted to run. And as a result, early in the Obama administration, this giant grassroots muscle starts to atrophy.
What could this have done? How useful could this have been in 2010 as the Obamacare fight was happening and the Tea Party was showing up at these, you know, CNN events wreaking havoc across the country? What might they have done?
Had the Obama grassroots really been continued in with the same kind of a momentum they had right after the election and in an independent form where they were, number one, they could have been doing a giant voter registration campaign. Number two, they could have been showing up locally pushing for real healthcare reform precisely at the moment when the Tea Party was doing all the grassroots organizing, and there was very little of that by comparison from the Democrats.
And they could have been running for office and succeeding like Mike Pence did.
Right. The sad thing about the moment we're in now, if you're a Democrat, is that while Obama himself has been personally successful, he got reelected after all, very popular at the end of his presidency, the Democratic Party at its base has been hollowed out. The Democratic Party lost close to 1,000 seats in state legislatures. Local Democratic Party structures barely exist. And that's the thing that's now being revived as people are like basically realizing there's no one else here but us. But I view this as not just a sin of omission by Obama, but a sin of imagination that he allowed this whole thing to wither. You know, I think of it as an act of criminal political negligence.
And you say it leads to Trump.
And I think it leads to Trump.
What the heck happened?
So I think what happened is, first of all, Obama had to be president and he can't possibly pay attention to all of these details. He delegated it. He delegated it to people like David Plouffe. who had a different vision of what you could do with this grassroots army, and Plouffe basically thought of it as a media amplification device. We can use our 13 million people on our email list to help get our message out around the mainstream media. That's what he writes about in his book.
So he thinks of it as a bunch of clicks.
Exactly. And he even says, you know, when you're in the White House, you don't need to do organizing. You don't need to do fundraising. And so the whole thing becomes an arm of the Obama White House communications machine.
Do we know what Plouffe and Axelrod say about what you've written?
Well, Axelrod refused to comment, for the record, and Plouffe, I simply couldn't get him to respond. I have to say, Plouffe has done very well for himself. You know, after Obama won, he went on the speaking circuit. He sold a book. He made a couple $1 million. He then went back into the Obama White House to help rebuild the political operation that ultimately wins Obama the re-election in 2012. And more recently now, he's been hired by Mark Zuckerberg.
Meanwhile, the Republicans control both houses of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump is in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
The local Republican organizational structure in state and local assemblies, governorships, mm-hmm. state houses, et cetera, is as strong as it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democratic Party and the DNC looks like Roman ruin.
Right.
You're mad about this.
I am mad about it. I think this may have been the mistake that literally, you know, tears our history in two. But I do think there's a small silver lining. First of all, we can learn from these mistakes. And Democrats are in the process of having a debate about who should chair their party going forward. And this can be an issue in that question of, you know, what is the purpose of the Democratic Party and how should it be organized and how does it make sure that in all 50 states – it's trying to grow and make a difference, number one. And number two, something's going on in the country right now at the scale that we've not seen in a long time. And that's promising. It would be great if there were more of an infrastructure for it to flow into. It's pretty hard for people to build that infrastructure in the middle of these huge fights. But I'm, a little bit of an eternal optimist. I think it's still possible that, you know, the resilience in our system is there for people to create the capacity that might have been 8 years ago the thing that could have made Obama a much more successful president, but that possibility is still there today.
Mika Seyfried, thanks so much. It's great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you, John.
Mika Seyfried is a contributor to The New Republic and the co-founder and executive director of Civic Hall.